Well, hello everyone, and welcome back. Now this morning, Independence Baptist Church will be bringing a message titled Four Main Words. This is actually the third and final message in this series, and so if you've missed any of the prior messages, log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. From there, you'll be able to listen to the first two messages. But for now, let's go ahead and turn it over to Pastor Reynolds as he finishes up the study on the four main words.
Our subject has been four main words. We have studied the word sin. We've also studied the word salvation and the word Christian. This morning, we want to study the term body of Christ. We often assume the words, the body of Christ, means exactly the same as church. And church means assembly. Many times, people use the word church and the terms body of Christ interchangeably, but that can lead to error. Sometimes the word church and the words body of Christ can be used interchangeably, but that is just one of the reasons why there is so much confusion about the body of Christ and the true local church. Much confusion concerning proper Bible interpretation, and especially concerning the term the body of Christ, can be cleared up if people would only observe the five W's when they read the Bible. The five W's are only a part, but a big part, of proper biblical interpretation. The five W's are these. Who is the writer writing to? Number two, what is the writer writing about? Number three, when is the writer writing? That is, the time period. Number four, why is the writer writing? Number five is, where is the writer and the receiver of the letter? And so it's who, what, when, why, and where. The phrase, the body of Christ, those three words, the body of Christ, is used only four times in the entire Bible. This morning, we'd like to look at the four times the phrase, the body of Christ, appears in the entire Bible. The first example is given in the book of Romans, chapter number 7 and verse number 4, which states, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. This passage refers to the literal fleshly body of Jesus Christ, in which he bore our sins on the cross. It is quite apparent from this passage that we are new creatures in Christ in this sinful world, that having been saved, we are no longer following the ways of the world, but now we follow God. In this passage, Paul is not saying it is okay to disregard the clear teachings of the law. The key to understanding verse 4 is in verse number 1, which states, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. Paul goes on to declare that the husband is bound to the wife, and the wife to the husband, as long as they both live. After the death of one of the marriage partners, the other is free to marry. Well, marrying the Lord, of course. This earthly example of husband and wife explains what has happened in salvation. When a person is truly saved, that person is no longer tied or linked to an earthly law, but is now linked to a new heavenly law. That's new to them, at least. The person is now linked indelibly to Christ, who is risen from the dead, that we might give glory and honor to God Almighty. Paul is not saying that salvation removes us from all earthly constraints and lets us decide for ourselves what we will do. Paul is clearly saying that when we are saved, we are removed from earthly constraints and linked to heavenly constraints. Therefore, after salvation, Christ tells us what to do and what not to do. Christ will never tell a person to disregard right and just laws. The second example is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 16, which states, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" This passage, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 16, is speaking about the church at Corinth taking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is supposed to be given only to the members of a local church. At least, that is what the New Testament declares. The Bible knows nothing about open communion or close communion. The Bible only knows about closed communion or each local church taking the Lord's Supper separately. This passage, like Romans 7:4, is not speaking about the church at all. Rather, it is speaking to the local church at Corinth taking the Lord's Supper. What Paul is saying here is very simple. The cup of blessing is the communion, or that is the fellowship, of the blood Christ shed on Calvary. The bread is the communion, or it is the fellowship, of the body of Christ. Paul is saying the Lord's Supper is fellowship with Christ. Each church, when they take the Lord's Supper, is showing their fellowship with Christ in particular and with each other in general. Point number 3 is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 27. This passage states, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the local church at Corinth, not to all the saved people in all of the world. Paul is stating that the church at Corinth is the body of Christ. Paul is not saying that there is one great, big, invisible, or visible church of which every believer is a member. The proof of this statement is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. This statement tells us who Paul is writing to. The Bible says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Paul is not writing to all the churches of all the ages, to some type of invisible, universal, or visible church. He is writing to the local church which is at Corinth. These people are dead to the law by the body of Christ, yet they are alive and are members of the church at Corinth. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about a problem. The problem is spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 1. Paul wants the Corinthian church members to understand each person in the church is very important. Each person has their own gifts and calling of God. Each person is very important in their own respect. You see, but the Corinthian church members had begun to think that some were unimportant, that some were even unnecessary. But Paul is correcting that thinking by declaring that the church is not one member. Rather, it is many members. Each member has his own work to do, and all the members should care for all the other members. That is what Paul is stating. Point number 4 is in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 and verse 11 through verse 13. The Bible said here, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the style of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. This passage speaks about the body of Christ in action. Christ desires every member of this church. Christ desires every member of every local church to edify or to build up each other. We're not in this thing alone, but we're here to help others. All of these people, in verse 11, the Bible says here that they're apostles, prophets, evangelists, their pastors, and their teachers. All of these people are in the first church. Remember that Paul is writing to the local church at Ephesus, not to all the believers in general. When we read the Bible, we must keep in mind that most of the scriptures are not written to individuals, but most of the scriptures are written to a local church in a local area. I think it'd be good at this point to refer back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 27, which states, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Paul says exactly the same thing to the Corinthian church as he says to the church at Ephesus. So this ends our discussion of these four main words. It might seem that every person would understand exactly what each of these words mean. But it is difficult to use only the definitions given to us by God, so we can clearly understand the scriptures. Men, because of our inherent sinful nature, want to complicate things instead of making it very simple. Of course, this fits in exactly with what Satan really wants. The truth is never complicated, but very, very simple. In the Garden of Eden, things were very clear. God was in charge. He made everything. He established everything. And God commanded Adam and his wife. But instead of listening only to God, man listened to the serpent. And man fell headlong into sin, and the entire human race fell with him. It is only by God giving us understanding that we truly understand this great principle of life. It is only by trusting God that He gives us everlasting life. Today, if you're lost, would urge you to seek Christ, would urge you to come to Christ. I know that He is well able to clarify in your mind all of the things that we have said. I pray that you might come to Christ, that you might seek Christ, that you might always do only the things that Christ has for you to do. I know that in your life, this will be a great blessing to you to only do what God wants you to do.
So to recap, the four main words that we've talked about are sin, salvation, Christian, and body of Christ. Now, if you missed any of those other messages, you can log into our website, again, independencebaptist.org, and check out the audio section. I'd encourage you while you're there to go ahead and look over all the other books, tracts, and articles that are available. Now, we'd also like to encourage you to come and visit us in person. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And we'll be starting Sunday school this morning at 10, worship services at 11, and then a prayer meeting at 3:45 this afternoon, followed by more worship services at 4:30. Now, if you're not physically able to join us, then go to www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. And each month, we post 10 of the sermons that have been preached from the pulpit in Independence Baptist Church. And it'd be a great way for you to be able to listen to those sermons, even if you're physically not able to attend. Now, my wife, for example, uses this via her smartphone or her tablet, or you can do it on your computer, download it to your MP3 player. But it kind of allows you to do it, while you're working around the house or doing other things. Well, our time has once again slipped away from us, but we are thankful you're able to join, and we pray you'll be able to join again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.